hon, it's me, Danielle. I am a licensed clinical mental health counselor, and I'm here to talk about all the ways multi-level marketing and mental health do not mix. It is important to know that this podcast is not meant to diagnose or for treatment. This podcast is based off of personal experiences and opinions, and is meant to educate and entertain. Now sit back and start healing with me on this episode of From Huns to Humans. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of From Huns to Humans. I am so excited. I've been talking with Katie for a while now, and we finally made this happen. It's going to be a little bit of a different episode today. Katie, what got you to slide into my DMs to come on the podcast?
Okay. First of all, thank you so much for having me on the podcast. I've been listening to you every week since you launched. And I just really love what you're doing. And I want you to know you're making a difference. Okay.
Thank you so much.
I am an anti-MLM junkie. I am obsessed. I fell down the rabbit hole in 2020, right? Everybody was looking for new content to consume.
Yeah.
And it started with listening to the Dream Podcast. Yeah. So I got into that, and then I found Life After MLM, and then I found you and Aaron Bees, and started watching YouTubes, and just I obsessed. Okay. And I've never even actually been in an MLM.
Yeah.
But I am your average basic consumer. I think I've done it all.
I think there are a lot of people that are kind of in the same situation as you that listen. So I think that let's dedicate this podcast to those people, because I know there are a good amount of people who have emailed or DM'd me and said, hey Danielle, I've never been an MLM, but I just really love your show, which honestly, just thank you so much. Those messages make me they really make my day. I don't like to talk about this too much, but I do a lot of really dark work for my real job. So getting those messages really does inspire me to keep going and keep doing the podcast for, however long this is going to keep going on for. And so just thank you. And thank you for being here. Cause I think that we have a couple ideas of things that we're going to talk about that I think are really important, and I'm just so excited. But before we get into that, you have your own podcast, and I just wanted to have you talk about that just a minute before we get into anti-MLM stuff.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, I do have my own podcast. It's new. It's called Call It Crazy. And it's really just about telling good stories. I want to talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, mental health, all of it. So yeah, Call It Crazy. Definitely check it out. And I'm very excited about it. So.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited. I just love hearing that people are starting new podcasts, because I mean, when you first start a podcast, it's very difficult to make any money. You might get an anchor ad at the beginning, but it caps out really fast. So you really don't get a lot. But if you build it up, it does turn into a business, and you can make a little bit of a side income, which, as we know, this is the whole point of the anti-MLM community and raising awareness about why MLMs are bad, is because we want people to be able to get paid for the time that they put in. I just am so proud of you, and I can't wait for you to grow. And I hope that you get to hit some of those milestones where it can be a little bit of a side business for you to do something that you love. Maybe help you pay for a microphone or something like that. It's so exciting when you get those milestones where you're just I can actually upgrade.
I mean, that's the goal. Yeah, no, I'm definitely really excited about it. But I think a lot of people were probably inspired to launch podcasts just watching people like you and Roberta start these podcasts organically and grow. It's pretty inspiring. So
yeah,
very cool.
The thing is, I hope that people know that there are people that want to listen to your story. And so whether your story is an anti-MLM story and you want to come on a podcast like mine, or you want to start your own podcast and talk about some stories about your life, yours, people want to hear those. We want to know that we're not alone. And also, part of the reason that we're interested in
like storytelling content is because we want to learn from other people's mistakes too. And it helps us learn and be aware of what's around us and to identify dangerous situations. Because I mean, not every like crazy story is going to be a dangerous story, or like maybe the danger is like on a different level. You know, there's like actual physical harm and emotional harm and, you know, just, oh shoot, that sucked type of situations. Yeah. But, you know, the point is that we can always learn from each other. And I think that that's what's so cool about podcasts, is that we get to learn from people that we would never have contact with otherwise.
Yeah, I think, well, and I think people crave authenticity. People want real, they want to know the nitty gritty, and like you said, they want to be able to relate to people. So.
Right. A lot of people want to know that they're not alone, because it's a lonely world. And especially during the pandemic, we were lonely people. Like,
which is a big reason people actually join MLMs, is they're craving like that community and they're trying to find real, trying.
Yeah. So anyways, what was like your first exposure to an MLM? Like what got you to like see the shiny object?
Okay. So I actually remember the first time my mom was going, she got invited to a party and I was a kid, and I remember her being like, ugh, I hate going to these parties because you have to buy something. And she told me that, like, she was already dealing with the dread of going to this party because she was going to have to come up with some money that she probably didn't have to buy the candle, or, you know, whatever, the garlic press, whatever it is. But yeah, so I remember that. I remember going to a Mary Kay party when I was like a teenager. I bought my first makeup from Mary Kay. Later, I hosted a slumber party in college, you know, did all the fun sex toy stuff. I was an avid Herbalife user. I used Rodan and Fields face wash. I bought the oils. In 2020, I started buying the nail strips. Like, I never knew that there was an issue ever. And I've heard like, oh, it's a pyramid scheme, but like, what does that mean? It meant nothing to me.
Right. And I think that like, we have so little knowledge about, like, we know pyramid schemes are bad, but we don't really know what they are. And even like, even me as like an anti-MLM like creator in this space, or educator, or whatever you want to call me, it's very difficult to explain how pyramid schemes actually work, because like, that's not my special interest, I guess, like, or like my like hyperfixation topic is not pyramid schemes. But like, I'm sure that there are other people that are really good at explaining it. So I don't want to say that all anti-MLM creators are like me and like not able to do it, but I'm kind of babbling. but it's hard. It's really hard. So why don't you start by explaining what you've learned about pyramid schemes, and I'll fill in anything that you missed.
Okay. You're putting me on the spot.
I know.
It's
important, right? Because like you said, you're really representing the average person who hasn't been in, who is trying to figure out and trying to make sure that you're making good decisions moving forward in your life. So I think that I would like, no pressure. I'm not trying to embarrass you or anything like that. But I think it's important because if you are representing like the average listener who is just like kind of consuming content and not in like the healing process of your journey, it's interesting for us to know like what messages we're actually getting across to people, if it's working.
Well, I think the biggest thing is, because I just thought, okay, it's a pyramid scheme, whatever. Sure, the people at the top are making more, but like the people that are in it are happy. They choose to be in it and they're still making some money. Like, that's what I thought, right? But the statistics, like, I mean, what is it? 99% of people lose money. That's pretty, like, that's a big statistic. Like, that is fact. And I did not know that. And I don't think people know that. Like,
right.
That is a big deal. I did not know like that it was so culty. And I'm also like seeing instances of it because I have friends that are in MLMs and, you know, I care about them. But I'm seeing them like jump from MLM to MLM. And that's just proof of what you guys are saying. Right. The business model does not work. It's
right.
Not
exactly. So like a lot of times people that are in MLMs, they'll make the argument that, Well, like if you work a 9-to-5, like corporate job, you're in an MLM or you're in a pyramid schemes too, because like there's the CEO and the CFO and the managers and the sales force, like, you know, like you have all of these like levels, and it does create this nice little pyramid shape, right? So like the big difference is the way the money flows. And this is kind of where I struggle at explaining this. And I know that there are people that probably explain it better, but for the best that I can, when you purchase from a big corporation, what happens is like all of the money kind of hits that bank account of that, organization. And then it accordingly like splits everything up, kind of like an envelope system. Like, you know, from back in, I don't know if other people did that, but like I was a 90s kid.
I know what you're talking about.
That was how I organized my money. I was like, okay, like I'm going to save up until I can get a car when I was like 16 and I had a little envelope. So like it goes out and it pays the CEO and it pays the workers, and like it goes and it trickles like all the way down. And it like spreads everything out accordingly. But in an MLM, what happens is like it, like the money just doesn't really trickle out appropriately. It only like gives you just like a little tiny bit of the cut, which isn't like an appropriate portion. So like most people, and also the fact that you have to pay to like, you have to pay to play in an MLM too. So like you're paying either fees, like companies like Beachbody, they have fees every month. You're paying like $15, $16 every month to just be a coach, and access your quote unquote discount. But also, and most of these companies, they're going to tell you, you don't need to do this. And sure, you don't. Nobody's holding a gun to your head. You don't need to make a purchase every month, but to be active, you usually do have to make some sort of purchase. So yeah, sure, I might get $20 because you bought a kit, but then I also have to pay almost $200 to stay active. So that doesn't really work.
Yeah,
like you're not actually making money. It's really not.
It's really disgusting. And now that my eyes are open, like I have stopped using MLM products. Like I'm done. I don't want to support that, but I still have, I still have a subscription to Rodin and Fields, and I just keep pushing it off. And the product did work for me, whatever, but now I found alternatives and I just like, don't want to be about it. But so I used to buy from like a random, and then my friend started selling Rodin and Fields. So I wanted to support her.
Yep.
So I switched my thing to her. Yep. And now I have to have this conversation with her, or I don't, but like, I'm ready to tell people that I don't support MLMs. Like yeah. I'm already telling my closest friends, but I'm ready to like shout it from the rooftops pretty much.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So what I have people that will come to me all the time and they'll say like, I don't know what to say to people. So let's talk about some of the different ways that we can respond to these people. Like going from like, well, we're probably not going to start with close friends. We're going to start with the random people that slide in your inbox.
Let's start with those.
Because those are a lot easier. There's a lot less stake involved. So what I do, okay. So first of all, I want to say everyone out here that's listening, like, We are doing our due diligence. We're getting informed about things like that. It is not our jobs to educate every single person that slides into our inbox trying to sell us stuff. If you do that, I mean, some people, I don't get that many anymore. I think it's just because people actually notice that I am not going to do it because I'm very vocal on my like personal pages, but also have the podcast. So like most people have kind of gotten the hint now that I'm not going to buy from them. Although I do get occasional party invites and I'm like, really? Do you pay attention to me at all?
Read the room, people. Read the room.
So on, I think it was in Roberta's Facebook page, Life After MLM, the group, somebody posted this response for people and I just have it saved in my phone. And if somebody comes into my inbox and I don't want to deal with it and I don't want to try to figure out how to be like diplomatic about the whole thing, this is what I send. And I'll like copy and paste this into the show notes too. So it says, hi, And then XXX. Also, this is like very reminiscent of my Hun days because I used to have pre-written out responses when I was in an MLM. But honestly, this just saves me like the emotional labor of trying to figure out how I'm going to reject someone. Like, it's hard.
Yeah.
Okay. So, hi, fill in the blank. I'm going to let you know that I'm a firm no to the oil, shake, superfood, whatever offer. For the past 2 years, I've let all my friends and family know that I do not support any business with a direct sales approach. That includes multi-level marketing businesses. I wish you all the best and respectfully request that you remove me from any invitations or offers of that type down the road. Thanks. Sincerely, your name. Obviously, so first of all, I did not write this. I don't remember who wrote it, but thank you to whoever did, because I send it to my friends all the time that are asking me how to respond to things like that. But like, this is really nice because you can obviously fix this up to match whatever you need to say, but it gives you a nice little template to be like, okay, I can be very direct. I can say no. And make it very clear that
it's short, it's simple, but it's very clear. I like that. Definitely. Yes. Send that to me.
Yes, I will. But like I said, I'll put that in the show notes. And like I said, I did not write that. If the person who did wrote that comes forward and wants like direct credit, please feel free to let me know. I'm happy to shout you out and let people know that you wrote that, because it's great. And I really do appreciate having that little simple dialogue. Like I said, I have ADHD and like, I have a lot of like rejection sensitivity issues. And I know that a lot of people in MLMs have, ADHD. So, I just feel really sensitive to being like, no, it's terrible. And it's also hard because you want to like scream at them and be like, what are you doing?
What are you doing? Yeah. So I also like follow friends and like, I like all their other stuff, but I won't like, you know, their MLM stuff. And the thing about these people is they're so good on their own. Like, they could do their own thing. They could become influencers. They could do whatever they wanted. And it's like, why are you relying on this, you know, not good product? I don't know.
Right.
It's so crazy. They could do so many other things. And that's another reason I like your podcast, is because you give options and you're showing people other, like other ways they can make money. And I think that's really cool.
I do try occasionally to have people, or, you know, I don't say no to people really when they come on, unless they like really don't like match up with what I'm trying to talk about. But like, if somebody has an idea or like whatever, and they're like, oh, I found this way that's like fairly easy to figure out how to make money. Like, everything that we do is work, whether it's upfront work or, like work as you go, like, you know, so say you write a book or something, that would be what I would consider to be like upfront work. You have to do all of the work, and then you do have to do work to promote your book, but like, hopefully the hard part is over.
Yeah.
You know, or you can create a podcast and like, and that's like a mixture, right, of upfront work and sustainable work, because as you release episodes, they continue to exist. But then you're still actively recording. So like, there's so many different ways that people can make money and do things. And it's just, I'm all over the place today. But one of the things I also kind of wanted to talk about while we're on this topic is that it's actually, I don't know too much about like how to create like a brick and mortar business. But I know that it's, I don't think it's as hard as we think it is. Like, it's hard. I don't want to like throw any shade.
But it's obtainable.
It is obtainable.
People don't know that.
If it wasn't obtainable, we wouldn't have any businesses to go shop at. Like, we wouldn't have these new stores that are run by like locally owned people. And I think that, you know, we never really hear too much about those people. And if anyone's listening that has like built the store from the ground up and wants to come on and talk about it, I would love that, because I think that that's really interesting. And I would love to hear like some of the ins and outs of how that works.
I think that's the appeal of the MLM though, yeah. Right? It's the easy quote unquote way out. The business is already built for you. It sells itself, right? This is how they're selling it to people. Mm-hmm. But really, you know, if we just put in a little more work at the beginning, like you said, we could really do something on our own, right? But they sell it as the easy way out and the quick fix. And we're always up for a quick fix.
Right. The too good to be true, right?
Right. Yeah, definitely.
So how have you responded to other MLM invites in the past? Like, what's your initial reaction when people try to get you?
I'm your classic ghost. I just don't answer. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, so I just don't answer, but I really like your response. So I'm going to start using that.
Yeah. I really like that too. Like I said, credit to unknown author.
I've been sharing stuff like occasionally, but very occasionally. Like I've shared like your podcast before, but I'm ready to do more. And I think the fear is like, I don't want to lose those friends that are in MLMs, but really they're not even like that close of friends, but I'm like still worried of the repercussion of it, I guess.
Yeah. So I think this kind of sheds light back to my beginning of getting out of my MLM stages. And at that time I had a really good friend who was selling Zaya activewear. She also sold Beachbody, and I think she sold something else too, but she was one of my really close friends at the time. And I was buying Zaya from her, and I was in her group, and I let her know, as I started like posting and sharing and all this stuff. And like, when I started doing that, I did like message her, and I was like, hey, like, I just want to let you know, like, this is not about you. This isn't like directed towards you as a person. I still really care about you, and I wish you all the success in the world, but I'm no longer going to be able to support your MLM businesses. And I'm happy to talk about that more with you if you would like, but unfortunately, this doesn't align with my moral values anymore. So I'm going to have to remove myself from the group.
What did she say?
She was just like, I totally understand. Thanks so much for letting me know. Unfortunate. I think that this is kind of a mixture of a multitude of things. And like, I hesitate because I don't want her to, like, I don't think that she listens to my podcast, but on the off chance that she does, like, I'm not trying to like talk shade about her at all. Like, I really do like her as a person, and I appreciate her in general. But I think that we kind of like grew apart over time, partially because there's a little bit of backstory here of like, me and my husband had started our own little like accountability fitness group because of our Beachbody story, where we were like, oh, this Beachbody group is super toxic. We can like start our own group where anyone can do any workouts they want. Like, if you want to do Beachbody workouts, sure, whatever. But if you want to write your own workouts or whatever, go to Zumba, like, this is just a place where people could like hold each other accountable. So we had that group, and that group slowly over time started to fall apart as me and Nick became more and more anti-MLM because all of those people were in MLMs. Most of them now listen to the podcast, have been on the podcast, either one of our podcasts, and have gotten all the way out of the MLMs. But there are still a couple of them that didn't. And like, I don't know, it just felt too MLM-y as time went on. And I think that the group just kind of.
Yeah, dissolved.
Yeah. And when the group dissolved, we kind of all parted ways, and like, that's kind of it. But yeah, like it wasn't anything bad. I'm sure that there are people that are going to take that really defensively.
Yeah. Well, because you're like hating on their business, right? You're
right.
As they say, you're a hater.
Right.
No, but it's their dream, right? That's a big deal. Who wouldn't take that personally?
Right. Well, and the other thing about MLMs too is that you're encouraged to make the MLM brand you. Like, you are the brand. So like, literally, that's what you're encouraged is, like, you are now trying to sell yourself when you join an MLM. It's not about Arbon or whatever. It's about you being marketed. People want to join your team. They don't want to join Arbon. They want to join your team.
I don't know how I never was recruited. So I've actually never been recruited, but I feel like I would be like the best MLMer. Like I'm all about like the self-improvement and the rah-rah shish goomba. Like I am about that life. So I'm really surprised I never was recruited.
Yeah, I am too, actually.
I think I would have like easily said yes. I mean, I think I would have said yes. So that's what's crazy. But I was never approached.
You were really never. So you hosted all of those parties and you were never approached?
Not that I remember. Well, I only hosted the slumber party, but I've been to all those parties. Mm. Yeah. No. I mean, I guess they say it at the end of their spiel, like if you're interested, but I was never like poached or anything. Mm-mm.
Wow. That's so interesting too, because I mean, kind of clicking into MLM gear, like if I were to host a party like that and you bought something from me, I would have followed you on all of your social media and then been like, oh my God, like followed up with you like weeks later, like, oh my gosh, how did you like that lotion? Like, isn't it fantastic?
And well, then, a lot of this was before social media too, though, really. I mean, like back in MySpace days. So it wasn't the same. It wasn't the same.
That's true. MySpace was a whole different animal.
You know, I actually, well, this is like totally off topic, but I remember another thing I remember as a kid is going to my mom's friend's house and her entire garage was Avon. So like it was her roommate that sold the Avon and the entire garage was wall to wall, like floor to ceiling. I mean, she was just front loading, right? Or buying it all or whatever. And I loved going to that friend's house because I always got free product, right?
Yeah.
But that's like a direct example of like people front loading. It's so crazy.
Right. Right. And I think that it's also a good example of how it started to like plant positive seeds for you too, right? Like you had this experience of being a kid and going to your friend's house and you would get all of this free stuff and you would probably use it. And you were like, this is fantastic. This is like, I'm just getting all these presents. And then, you know, it just creates a positive association with MLMs in the future.
Well, and these names are, you know, Avon is like been around forever. Avon is like a household brand. It is.
Right.
So it's just like changing, you know, our view of that. But again, like the average person doesn't know. I saw a TikTok yesterday and it was good. I liked it. But the guy was like, kind of being rude. Like it's 2023. How do you not know that this is, you know, a pyramid scheme and this and that and da 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 da. And it's like, because people still don't know. Like, unless you're down this rabbit hole, I feel like you really don't know. And even like, I'm telling my friends, like my best friends, I literally talk about it all the time. Mm. And they still like, don't know, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I have friends too, that like know that I'm anti-MLM. They watched me do all this stuff. They like never really supported me through any of it. And then even after I've done all this stuff, I had one of my friends, she set up a bachelorette party for one of my other friends and had all of these MLM reps come, or I think it was just one MLM rep who happened to rep multiple companies, which is typically not allowed. But she was getting away with it probably because she was so low on the totem pole that didn't matter. And she was like telling me about it. And she was like, yeah, so I had this girl come and she had all of these things and da 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 da. And I was like, and she was like, Danielle, you would have hated it. And I'm just like, why did you do that? Like, why would you do that? You know that I educate about how these are scams.
Why would you even tell me? Yeah.
So like part of it is like, why would you even tell me? Like, that's so messed up. But also like, did you not learn anything that I've talked about? Like, this is one of like my like, well, really close circle of friends. So I was like super offended. I was like, what are you doing? I don't think she listens to my podcast. So that's why I don't
know. You know, I actually have a friend that was down the anti-MLM rabbit hole years ago. Like, she's done it all. She's seen it all, but she still consumes, like, and she knows it, but she likes the product or whatever. And
you know,
I'm like, how can you know it and still,
I think that on some level there are some people who like, okay. So anti-MLM is, spectrum. There's a spectrum, right? There's knowing and not like there's totally anti-MLM, like me, who's like, I won't even step in the door. Like, don't even look at me. But then there are people that are still getting the products, or like they'll get their products, like their sister sells it, and like the sister will like occasionally like give them stuff, or they'll give them money for stuff or whatever because they really like the products, like things like that. Or just still getting it as a customer. And a lot of times people will say that they haven't found a dupe that they like. And you know what? Like, that's okay. Like, when you can leave, like, do. Like, I don't want to promote shame around using products, you know? Obviously, there are some products that are really dangerous, in my opinion, like Monet or Herbalife, that have like really high risks. I consider, in my opinion, Plexus to have a really high risk because of what I've been through. There are MLMs that I do consider to be very dangerous, like to your either physical health in some way. But then there are products like Mary Kay and stuff like that, that like, I mean, I'm sure that somebody will come and tell me that they had a really bad reaction to a product or whatever, but
it's just makeup. It's just overpriced makeup.
Right. It's just overpriced makeup. And like, if you want to buy overpriced makeup, like, who am I to tell you not to?
That's why I love like the dupe groups though. Yeah. I mean, it gives people the alternative, and that's, I mean, I think that's what that you guys focus on, or the anti-MLM mm-hmm. community, is like giving people alternatives and other resources. So
I think that people also forget, because you're shopping from your home, which, you know, there's just so many pros to that, but you feel like when you get into an MLM website and you're working with a rep, you feel like you're getting a really good deal. But if you're gonna spend that much money, like, go and look at other products. Like, yeah, it might not be exactly the same, but like, if you want to spend high quality product money on something, like, go buy a high quality product or like a mid-range product, and it's going to be so much better most likely than what you're getting.
Yeah, Rodin and Fields is really expensive, and like, I probably did not have the money at the time to be buying it, but I did, because it did work for me. But there's a lot of products that would have worked for me if I was willing to drop that kind of cash. I had never spent that kind of cash on skincare before.
I just got the Lash Boost settlement check just came in for me.
Oh, yeah?
Like, yes, that $164. I can't believe I spent that much money on stupid eyelash stuff.
That's so funny. But you got your money.
Yeah, the most money I've probably ever made in MLM. Just kidding, that's not true. 1 year I did make over $600 and had to claim it on my taxes. So, woohoo! But, like, you know, it's just like, it is so overpriced when you can buy, what is it, CeraVe or whatever at CVS for like $10. Like, why would you spend $200 on face wash when you can buy a whole system? Like, if you want to, I'm just going to go with CeraVe, not an ad. Don't care about them. But it's the only one that I can think of. So if you're going to, you can go to CeraVe and probably buy like a whole line of stuff for like $50.
Yeah. And everything's overpriced. Like, I mean, the overpriced sex toys at the slumber party, right? The overpriced shakes for Herbalife. Like, it's just all overpriced stuff that you can find a million alternatives to at the grocery store.
Right. Exactly. And it's, and also I think that Target sells sex toys now too. So all of the Target girlies that are obsessed with Target, you can go there now.
They really do sell it all, huh?
Yeah. I saw a TikTok that was talking about it the other day, so I don't know that for sure. Feel free to slide in my DMs and let me know if I'm wrong. But like, you know, you really can. You can find everything online or in stores for much cheaper. There aren't really that many products that are very MLM specific that you can't find somewhere else. Or like, make yourself. Like, it's just, there's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of options out there.
Yeah. So the other thing I wanted to kind of talk about is like your friend So like, how do you like approach somebody that you actually know and like tell them, obviously you can kind of take the approach that I said earlier. But another thing that I've really been learning from other people in the anti-MLM community is asking questions. Because first of all, it takes some of the burden of education off of you.
Like what kind of questions?
So like, okay. So if it depends, it's hard without a situation in front of me.
Well, so this is like a family friend, like been like a forever family friend, but I don't talk to her often. And she actually hasn't like been like blowing me up and asking like, hey, are you going to buy or anything like that? Mm-hmm. I just keep pushing it off, but I just feel like I love her so much and I should give her a heads up.
Yeah. So it's hard. It's hard for that situation. I would probably go with like what I did to my friend and just say like, hey, like I've been learning a lot more about multi-level marketing business model. And I just really can't support this business model anymore. It's not that I don't support you. It's that I can't support these companies. And I really care about you. And if you would like to talk about what I've learned more, I'd be happy to share. But I just wanted to let you know, like that I'm not going to be purchasing from you anymore. And I really do care about you. And I hope that we're still okay.
Okay. That was literally perfect. So that's exactly what I'm going to say. That's exactly what I'm going to say.
Just go back and rewind the audio until you write it all down.
Well, no, because it shows that you care and it shows, you know, it's not personal and that you know, you said, I've been learning this, you know, I've been learning these things. And I think that's really important. You're not just hating on their business. You're not just saying, you know, they suck.
Right.
You're saying the why.
Right. Exactly. But for like other people, what you can do is you can like ask questions. So like, maybe starting somewhere with like, oh, if they're trying to recruit you, oh, like, can you tell me like how much you're making? And they're probably going to say no, or something like that. And they'll tell you about how they make like six checks a year or not a year, six paychecks a month, or whatever, however many paychecks they say that they're getting, or they get paid immediately. They kind of like divert off of that. But so you keep bringing it back. So if you ask a question like, how much are you making? Or like, can I ask you how much you're making? Something like that. And like, you kind of keep bringing it back. Like, obviously, if they say no, like people don't have to disclose their financial stuff to you. But also, if you're trying to learn about a business, these are questions that you should be able to ask. So like kind of like that balance there of kind of knowing like this is something that a lot of people are told not to talk about. Especially women are always encouraged to not talk about finances, which is the patriarchy telling you not to share with others because they don't want us to have more information. We should all be able to know. Like money is just money. It doesn't have any moral value attached to it. And we need to stop talking about it like it does because that's part of the problem. Anyways.
Well, there's enough to be had by everyone. So
there should be. Yeah. There should be.
Yeah, there should be.
But so like asking questions and kind of keep like poking the hole. And what this does is when you're in it, if you're me, I'm always like riled up when these things happen and I get super upset and I think everything is like an attack against me. So even, and this is me talking about my position from being anti-MLM, never mind when I was in. So when I'm anti-MLM, I am still fired up. I am still on the defense. So I have to really like take a deep breath and like take a step back and be like, okay, what question can I ask next that isn't charged? So like take all of that, like, you're doing this, you're trying to manipulate me, like, you're trying to get me into a cult. Don't say any of that. It's not going to work. It's not helpful. Nobody is helped in that situation.
Yeah, it's an attack. That's how they're going to take it. That's how they're going to take it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Even though, like, think about just like anything that you're doing. If somebody comes at you, like, so say you're loading the dishwasher wrong. And I'm like, Katie, I can't believe that you loaded the dishwasher like that. You're so stupid. Why would you ever load the dishwasher this way? You're just going to be like, F off, Danielle. Like, yeah. I'm loading the dishwasher. This is how I load the dishwasher. This is how I've always loaded the dishwasher. Like, I might have the perfect method to loading a dishwasher for you to get the cleanest dishes, but because I just came off like that, you're not going to care about what I say at all.
Yeah. No, I'm a typical millennial. Pat me on the head and tell me I'm a good girl and I will kill for you. But like, tell me all the things I'm doing wrong and I just like curl up in a ball and die. So yes. I just.
Right. Exactly.
And I think that's how a lot of people are. They, you know.
It really is. It really is. So like, if you're able to start with asking questions, and then what you can do, if you can get into enough of a conversation, is you can kind of build up to being like, huh, well, I just Googled what you just talked about. And wow, I just went onto the FTC's website and they said that 99.8% of people don't make money in multi-level marketing companies. What do you know about that? And then they might respond with their income disclosure. And that's a really great place to ask questions, because what naturally happens when we look at these income disclosures is we will go all the way down to the bottom and we see how much we can make.
Yeah. And they're so black and white and awful. Like the income disclosures, when you look at it, like it's terrible. It shows you, but like, you always think you can be at the top, right?
Exactly.
You can be that 1%.
Right. And then they literally show you right there, but we always focus on like, okay. Like, so somebody will say, like, this is what always got me is like, oh, wouldn't like $500 change your life? So I would look down to where I could make $500 a month. And I would be like, okay, well, that seems doable. Like when it's
and
like, okay,
not everybody is looking to make the most either. Some people just want a couple $100 extra. And that looks a little more obtainable.
It does look more obtainable. But then when you actually like break down the numbers and break down the percentages, most of these income disclosures are going to line up with what the FTC reports, or what is it? ARP? Is that the other one?
I have no idea.
There's another one. My brain is escaping me, but there's another one that also has one, and it's more in the MLM's favor. I think it's like 78% or something like that. Don't make money. Still a lot. Like we're still
not a good number. Yeah.
Not a good number. Like that, you don't have 78% of people at Stop and Shop not making money. Like everyone at Stop and Shop makes money. They all go home with a check. Probably not enough in today's society, but they're still regularly making money for every hour that they work.
Yeah. They're getting paid. So,
right.
It's so upsetting, and like it gets like you're flustered, right? Just talking about it gets you fired up, but like the average person is not fired up about it. So I'm ready to like do my part and start getting people fired up about it. Like I'm not gonna be quite on your level, but I definitely want people to know that I don't agree, and it's scammy and it's scummy, and they need to go away, period. Or they need to change their model, right?
Right. No, exactly. And I think that this is such an interesting time to be in the anti-MLM world, because there is a lot of stuff going on with the FTC, and things are going to be moving, and it's going to take time. Like the government takes time. We all know this. It's annoying, but things are moving, and unfortunately we can't come at it through this legal way or like the government route of just taking down these companies. It's going to be like really deconstructing the model. So right now they're talking about adding in a waiting period. So that would mean that if you wanted to join an MLM, Katie, you could sign all the paperwork and everything, but you wouldn't be able to start for 7 days.
It gives people a little more time to think about things.
Right. Yeah. Because.
Well, and I think things really are changing, and I think, an impact is being made, because you're seeing like little instances where people, these businesses, quote unquote, are starting to change their model. Right. And I think even like Tupperware going into the stores, like and stuff like that. We are seeing like little changes too.
Right. Absolutely. And the hope is that we can kind of keep seeing these changes, because ultimately companies exist to serve us. I don't know why all of a sudden we've become a slave to all of these companies, but like the reason that companies exist is to fill needs that regular people need for the most part, unless you're like a luxury company or whatever, then you're there for luxury people. But like, why do these companies get to dictate the stuff when so many people are saying they're unhappy with it and saying that they're getting hurt? If enough people start stepping forward and saying this isn't okay, eventually they're going to have to backpedal, like kind of like what we're seeing with Netflix happen right now. Like they just announced that they're going to do this like password lock thing. And I haven't super followed it, but like from what I heard is that they backpedaled pretty fast because everyone was like, all right, well, we're all going to cancel our Netflix accounts. Like this isn't convenient anymore.
I didn't hear that they backpedaled, but I heard that they were going to do that. So
yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard a lot. Like I hesitate, so that might not be true. Maybe I caught some misinformation. I like I said, I haven't super followed it, but I did see a couple people talking about them backpedaling. And also ever since I started hearing people talk about them backpedaling, I stopped hearing the Netflix stuff as yeah. much.
Well, like, as it was, if they're not making enough money off of us anyway. So
right, exactly. Like so like we should be able to have this pressure on our society to create the needs that we need as people. Like why we shouldn't be letting all these corporations walk all over us when they're there to help us. Like that's the point.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they should be listening to us. And I think, like I said, I kind of do think some of them are starting to listen. There's a lot of like public pressure on these companies right now. And yeah. a lot more people are finding out, like the anti-MLM community like blew up since, I feel like within the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And I and you guys are loud, and I think they're hearing it. They're hearing it.
And I think it's really cool that we also have like Hollywood seems to be kind of on our side too, where like they often will poke, like they'll add in an MLM episode where like somebody joins an MLM and then in their shows. And I think that's fabulous. Like the more that we can see this play out and it's being really shown in a not flattering light, like we need to keep showing the light and pointing the mirror the way it actually is. Because we have these people that are in that are being trained and brainwashed to put their fake foot forward, essentially. Like they're putting on this show saying that they're making all this money when it's not happening. And that's like this big contradiction that we have, right? Of like the knowledge versus what we see.
Yeah.
And just,
well, just seeing it more. Yeah, absolutely. Seeing it more. It's representation. And then it's also educating people.
Right. Exactly. All right. Is there anything else that you want to get into? Any other directions that you want to go?
No, I think that's it. Like I said, this is probably going to be a short episode.
Yeah.
I just feel like enough people don't know. And you guys are doing a really good job of educating people, but I want to be a part of the solution. And so yeah. I'm going to take your advice, and I'm going to go maybe even today, send that message to my friend and cancel my account. Like I've been pushing it off, and it's been like a weight on my shoulder too, because I've been wanting to do it for, like I said, like a year. I've just been pushing it off. And I'll just feel so much better once I do it. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it will be great to just know your credit card isn't hooked to it. I'm really excited because I actually still have a Monet VIP account, but I can't get out of it because you have to do so many orders.
You can't get out of it? What the heck?
Yeah, no, you're like contracted into a mandatory like 3 orders or something like that. So I never put in my third order because I was like, I'm not like, I had really bad results with the shampoo. Like it felt gross in my hair. It was terrible. So my debit card changes this next month. So I'm really excited.
I can't believe that's like part, like you cannot cancel it. What the heck? That is so crazy.
Yeah. The Monet, I don't know if they've changed it. I mean, or any, like I said, I'm not like in the consuming part of the anti-MLM content world anymore as much. So I'm not really up to date with like new policy changes and all that jazz unless somebody comes on the show and tells me about it, then I know. But yeah, when I joined, it was like you to be a VIP, you had to like commit to making 3 purchases. I don't remember if there was a certain dollar amount or if I misunderstood that. But yeah, so I still get Monet emails and I'm just like, I can't wait until my debit card numbers change. And I consider that my automatic termination from any like subscription services that
this is my termination letter. Thank you.
Yeah. Like they can't get my money anymore. So
yeah.
All right. So what is your anti-MLM why?
I think, I don't even know how to word it, but I think just people don't deserve to be scammed, right? And everybody deserves a piece of the pie and everybody's just trying to make a living and, you know, they deserve to, and they're literally being scammed out of their money and scammed out of like a real opportunity to make money and make a difference in their life. So
yeah,
that's what it is for me.
Absolutely. I think that that's such a lovely, perfect, perfectly struggling to talk today, but yeah, I mean, I really appreciate you like being willing to share more. What I always tell people is, you know, starting with sharing facts versus sharing catty memes is always better when it comes to education and stuff like that. And also like you're way less likely to alienate your friends. Like they might disagree with what you're posting, but if you're posting like factual things, you can't fight facts. You know what I mean? Facts are facts. Opinions are opinions. So if you're posting like a TikTok or whatever that has like my TikToks are usually, I usually base my anti-MLM TikToks off of like myself and typically making fun of myself in them. But if you posted one of them to your story, like they're going to take it as a personal attack because it's that type
of. It feels that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Type of content versus like an infographic that shares numbers and data and what's it called when you like, citations, all that stuff. So that's always a good place to start. So anyways, if people want to reach out to you, if they want to listen to your podcast, can you just tell them where to find you one more time?
Yes. And I have a favor to ask. Can I take 30 seconds to give my little podcast spiel real quick?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm going to give you like a little taste of my trailer.
Yeah.
So hey guys, I'm Katie Kaufman, certified flower child, dog mom, day drinker, real housewife enthusiast, and all around bad bitch. I want to know your wildest stories, the craziest things you've ever done, and the best advice you've ever been given. That's why I'm sitting down with all my favorite people. So bust out the mimosas, get comfortable with me, and let's shoot the shit. Call it crazy, call it whatever the fuck you want, but shit's about to get real.
Oh my God.
I just want to tell good stories. I would love to have you on my podcast someday if you're if you ever want to. I'd love to educate people on the anti-MLM community and just, you know, the poor business practices. But you can follow me on Instagram, TikTok, all the things at Call It Crazy Katie.
Love it. Yes. And that will be in the show notes too. So thank you so much, Katie. I am so excited that we got to have this conversation today, and I hope that it helps some people who are struggling with how to break off some of these relationships, or not necessarily break them off, break off the MLM part of the relationship, but keep their actual relationships. The other thing I want to say just before we end is that if you are like doing this, remember that like trying to like tell a friend or whatever, remember that kindness is always the best way to actually keep your friendship still intact. So just be a good friend, be there when they need you, don't support the MLM, and hopefully one day they'll remember that you were there for them when you needed them.
Absolutely. That's yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm glad we finally got to talk.
Of course. Have a great day, guys. Bye.
Bye.